The words of God given to us today are Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. Be very careful, then, how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. After Jesus resurrected and ascended to heaven, the disciples gathered in the upper room. They waited for the Holy Spirit as the Lord had promised, devoting themselves entirely to prayer. When the day of Pentecost arrived 10 days later, the promised Holy Spirit finally descended upon them. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from the heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. The Israelites lived as slaves in Egypt for 400 years. When the time set by God had come, they finally left Egypt, and they celebrated the Passover to commemorate this event. God made the month of the Passover the first month of the new year, the religious new year. This signified that nothing could be more new than gaining freedom after 400 years of slavery. The day after the first Sabbath following the Passover, Feast of Unleavened Bread, is the Feast of First Fruits, which is the day Jesus rose from the dead. The 50th day from that point is Pentecost. Since Pentecost is a feast celebrating the barley harvest of that year, it is also called the Feast of Harvest or the Feast of Weeks. While the Passover is a feast confirming that we have been liberated from slavery to become God's covenant people, Pentecost is a feast where the liberated people of the covenant offer the fruits of their labor to God. The Passover and Pentecost apply directly to the work of our salvation. On the day before the Passover, Jesus was arrested and became the eternal sacrifice on the cross as the Passover lamb, shedding his blood in our place. As a result, we were liberated from the slavery of sin and death, gained eternal life, and became citizens of the kingdom of God. Then, on the third day, the Feast of First Fruits, Jesus rose again, and he spent 40 days with his disciples preaching about the kingdom of God before ascending into heaven. 10 days after his ascension, the Holy Spirit, promised by Jesus, came upon us and allowed us to become people who bear the fruits of the Spirit under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. In today's scripture, the Lord also speaks to us, be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. The descendants of Adam and Eve, who gave in to the temptation of the serpent, the devil, and ate the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, forbidden by God, live in a world filled with sin. The thoughts and plans of people have always been evil. There has never been a time when it was otherwise. Therefore, the world subtly tempts us, so that we cannot rescue things of eternal value throughout our lives. It whispers in our ears every day that living according to worldly values is not only very attractive, but also that there is no life superior to it. Thus, if we are to live a life that rescues things of eternal value, we must live a life of obedience to the Lord's will and His word, rather than our own thoughts, plans, or desires. A life that makes oneself the ultimate purpose inevitably leads to deep sighs and emptiness, because we human beings are finite. Only a life that makes the Lord its purpose and obeys His word holds eternal joy and eternal satisfaction. This is because the Lord, whom we have made our purpose, is eternal, and His word is also eternal. Furthermore, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we must not get drunk on wine. Ephesus, a port city located on the coast of the Aegean Sea, was much more prosperous economically than other cities. The people of Ephesus worshipped Dionysus, the god of wine, and they identified getting drunk with communing with that god and having a religious experience. Because getting drunk was a religious act, it was a very common occurrence. But Paul strikes with a definitive word of warning: do not get drunk. The literal meaning of debauchery is waste, not saving, or not being frugal. Therefore, when one becomes drunk, they waste their life and do not cherish it. I have never seen anyone say, "I repent for living my life worthlessly until now. I'll drink 3 bottles of soju, and from now on, I will live a valuable life." This is because alcohol causes us to waste our lives worthlessly. Therefore, wine in this text does not only refer to alcohol like soju or wine. It represents the totality of things that make us unwise and foolish rather than wise. Things that make us participate in the fruitless deeds of darkness rather than bearing the fruit of light, and various kinds of addictions that prevent us from living a healthy life and cause us to waste our lives. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. In the Bible, the command "do not" is an emphatic expression used to highlight the importance of what follows. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. The scripture says, do not be anxious about anything. But how can we actually stop worrying? Simply suppressing our emotions doesn't make anxiety go away. How wonderful would it be if worry could be resolved just by hearing someone say, "Don't worry, stay strong." However, anxiety is never resolved that way. Telling someone to just stop worrying is no different than telling an alcoholic to stop thinking about alcohol, or telling a gambling addict, "Don't even picture cards in your head." That is not how one finds liberation from addiction. Knowing the statistics on worry doesn't help much either. In his book, The Joy of Not Knowing It All, American psychologist Ernie J. Delinsky states, 40% of our worries never happen. 30% are about things that have already happened. 22% are petty concerns. 4% are about things we cannot change. And 4% or about things we can actually change. In other words, most of what we worry about is useless, and there are things we actually have the power to change. Therefore, we are told not to be anxious. While he advises us not to worry based on these facts, I wonder how one could ever be truly free from the anxiety that creeps up from within, whether it's about the past or the trivial. However, the Bible clearly states that the ultimate prescription for anxiety is prayer. This may sound like a cliche, but there is no better answer. When a parent sees a student who won't put down their smartphone before final exams, the parent will say, "Stop playing with your phone and study." If the child puts down the phone, but then just sleeps or stares blankly at the wall, that is not the solution. That is no different from playing with the phone. The only true way to not play with the phone is to actually study. Similarly, trying not to worry by thinking about nothing, sleeping, or wasting time on distractions is not a proper solution. Those things only postpone the anxiety and often cause it to grow larger. The only solution, the best solution, to not being anxious is to pray and petition. This means bringing yourself and your situation face to face with God. Confronting God in this way reduces our anxiety and clearly awakens us to what we must do and how we should act. Therefore, the best way to avoid falling into the drunkenness that causes us to waste our lives is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. In the Bible, we see both the terms baptism of the Holy Spirit and fullness of the Holy Spirit. The resurrected Jesus taught his disciples about the kingdom of God and said, Acts chapter 1, verses 4 to 5. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Jesus promises disciples the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thus, when the Holy Spirit descended in the upper room on Pentecost, the sound of a violent wind was heard, and tongues of fire were seen. The disciples began to speak in different languages they had never learned. However, based on this passage alone, some argue that when a person is baptized with the Holy Spirit, various mystical phenomena or transcendent powers must always manifest. However, this is what happened when Jesus began his public ministry and was baptized by John the Baptist. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. When Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit descended like a dove, but there was no sound like a violent wind, nor were there tongues of fire visible. Therefore, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, it does not matter whether there is a mystical phenomenon like a violent wind, or tongues of fire, or even a feeling like a dove alighting on us. Because God created each of us differently, we have all experienced the Holy Spirit in different ways. That is why we are here in this place of worship today, and the church has become a community of those who have been baptized by the Holy Spirit. The important point is that while fullness of the Holy Spirit can happen many times, baptism of the Holy Spirit is a one-time event. Furthermore, it is entirely the work of the Holy Spirit. That is why the Bible never says, pray to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In the past, some revivalists used to say, receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but that is not scripturally correct. The relationship between baptism of the Spirit and fullness of the Spirit is similar to the relationship between a wedding and a married life. A wedding is a ceremony you perform once with your spouse. You might have a vow renewal for a 10th or 25th anniversary, but the actual wedding happens only once. However, married life is an ongoing journey. Love and trust for one another must grow deeper and more abundant. You must fill in what is lacking and prune away what is wrong. Only then can you have a married life filled with love. The same applies to the baptism and fullness of the Spirit. Just as a person who did not know Christ confesses him as Savior and receives water baptism once in a lifetime, the baptism of the Spirit is received only once. Trying to repeatedly receive the baptism of the Spirit whenever an opportunity arises is as absurd as wanting to have a wedding ceremony with your spouse every year or every 6 months. Since we have already received the baptism of the Spirit, what remains for us is to repeatedly live a life filled with the Holy Spirit. There is also the term sealing of the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. The sealing of the Holy Spirit, like the baptism of the Spirit, can be seen as another aspect of the same event that occurs at the moment of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. It is like a seal or a guarantee proving that a saved Christian belongs to God. And like the baptism of the Spirit, the sealing of the Holy Spirit is a one-time event. Furthermore, the Bible speaks of two types of fullness of the Holy Spirit. The first type is the fullness of the Spirit for a specific ministry. Among those used to create various furnishings for the tabernacle was Bezalel. The scripture says of him, Exodus chapter 3, 31, verses 1 through 5. Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom, with understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of crafts. God gave Bezalel the ability to make various items using materials like gold, silver, bronze, precious stones, and wood. And specifically, when it came to making the furnishings needed for the tabernacle, God filled him with his Spirit so that he could carry out the work even better. A representative person who received the fullness of the Spirit for a specific ministry was John the Baptist. Luke chapter 1, verses 15 to 16. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. John the Baptist was born with a calling to prepare the way for the Lord's coming. For this purpose, it is said that he was filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. To live a consecrated life like a Nazarite, he did not drink wine or fermented liquor to avoid being under the influence of alcohol. Instead, he was filled with and governed by the Holy Spirit to fulfill his ministry of bringing many of the Israelites back to God. The disciples and apostles of Jesus were also filled with the Holy Spirit to carry out special ministries. Acts chapter 4, verses 8 to 12. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and are being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." Only a short while ago, the Apostle Peter was not this kind of person. When Jesus was being interrogated, Peter did not stand up boldly as a disciple, but denied Jesus three times. Furthermore, although Jesus has promised to meet the disciples in Galilee, people and the others went there not because they remembered his words, but to return to their former livelihoods. However, after being filled with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, he was completely transformed. Standing before the high priests, various other priests, and those with political and economic power, he boldly proclaimed, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved." In this way, the Holy Spirit may come upon us in fullness for a specific ministry. The fullness may subside once that ministry is completed. I began my ministry as a first-year divinity student at the High School Department of the Lord's Church, Chunimekyoe. A month after I started, there was a four-day summer retreat. Since it was my first retreat as a minister, I didn't know what to prepare, how to do it, or how much was needed. After the retreat, I felt a heavy burden for a while, thinking I hadn't handled it properly. So I decided to prepare thoroughly for the next winter retreat. I spent much time hanging on to God in prayer at the prayer tower in the seminary. From the very first preparation prayer meeting with the teachers, God worked powerfully. It was the same during the retreat itself. Though I was leading the retreat, I felt as if I were not the one leading it. That winter retreat remains unforgettable to me, even 33 years later. And very occasionally, while delivering God's word during Sunday worship, I feel as if it is not me speaking. In those moments, I clearly feel the Holy Spirit governing me. Of course, once the service ends, that feeling subsides, and I return to my daily life. The second type is fullness of the Holy Spirit in daily life. Acts chapter 6 tells us that as the number of Christians in the Jerusalem church grew, conflict arose over the distribution of food. Food was being distributed to widows. However, while those who had originally lived in Judea and Jerusalem received food, those who had returned from overseas were being overlooked. Therefore, the apostles decided to appoint people to handle this ministry of sharing properly. Acts chapter 6, verses 3 to 6. "Brothers and sisters, choose seven men from among you who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. We will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit, also Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a converted to Judaism. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. To carry out the work of charity, distributing food, seven men, including Stephen and Philip, were appointed. It is said that they were men full of spirit. These individuals were not filled with the Spirit to carry out a specific task. Rather, they were chosen because they were already full of the Spirit. The first among those chosen to be martyred was Stephen. The scene of his martyrdom is described like this. Acts chapter 7, verses 55 to 56. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Look, he said, I see heaven open, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit when he was appointed to serve in charity, and he was also full of the Spirit when he was martyred. Stephen was a man who lived in the fullness of the Holy Spirit in his daily life. Regarding Barnabas, who went on the first missionary journey with Paul, the scripture says, Acts chapter 11, verse 24, he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Like Stephen, Barnabas was full of the Spirit and faith in his daily life. Because he was such a man, he went all the way to Tarsus to bring Saul, whom others had shunned. When they taught God's word together in Antioch for a year, the people there began to call the members of the Antioch church Christians. I will read once again today's scripture. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. The verb tense for be filled is present, passive, imperative, plural, second person. In other words, it means you all keep being filled. In English grammar as well, the present tense signifies repetition. If you say, I eat breakfast, it means you eat breakfast regularly. Therefore, being filled with the Holy Spirit is not a one-time event like the baptism of the Spirit. It means being filled repeatedly. Thus, the fullness of the Spirit mentioned in this text refers not to a fullness for a specific ministry, but to the fullness of the Spirit in daily life. A person who is filled with the Spirit in their daily life sings psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, and lives a life of giving thanks to God the Father in all circumstances. A person filled with the Spirit in daily life refuses to live according to worldly values and the desires of the flesh. Instead, they bear the fruits of the Spirit by living according to the Spirit. Today is the first Sunday of Lent, a season where we meditate on the Lord's suffering and commemorate his resurrection. The Holy Spirit, who came to this earth on Pentecost, did not go back up to heaven. He is right here with us, working with us. During this season of penitence, and let us repent and turn away from our attempts to live according to our desires and worldly values without trying to take off our sandals. Let us take off the sandals of desire and the sandals of worldly values. And let us give thanks to the Holy Spirit, who intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. The fact that we are in this place of worship today confirms that we are people who have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, what remains for us is to be filled with the Spirit. Let us all live in obedience to the guidance of the Holy Spirit and keep the Lord's word. The more we live out a life filled with the Spirit, the more we can live as the faithful channels of the Lord. Furthermore, even in a world where worldly values prevail, we can live as salt and light. What truly matters is always what we are filled with. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we can rescue our lives to have eternal value. Let us pray. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Lord, we confess that even though you commanded us so, we wanted to be filled with and seized by the wine of our greed and desire and the wine of worldly values. We insisted that being governed by those things was the way to succeed in the world. We confess that although we have been Christians for a long time, we may have been full of our desires and worldly things, but we were not filled with the Holy Spirit. As we mark the first Sunday of Lent, we repent of our transgressions and sins. Please forgive us. Thank you for confirming through today's word that we are here today because we have already received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, help us to respond correctly and sensitively to the guidance of the Holy Spirit who dwells within our hearts, so that we may live a life filled with the Spirit in our daily lives. From now on, help us to live as faithful channels of the Lord by obeying the Holy Spirit more and keeping your word. Wherever we are and whatever we do, help us to discern what we are trying to be filled with. May we be filled not with worldly values, but with the Holy Spirit. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.